Hello, everyone. Namul Myoho Hoden Geikyo. I hope you're doing well, and I appreciate you being here for another, in this case, a Go show. We're getting through a large compendium of Go shows, so I thank you for being here, joining me for this. This one's interesting. This one's a little different than most of the letters we read, because this is a petition that Nichiren wrote for Shijo Kingo. This is an interesting situation, so we're going to learn something about kind of the inner workings a little bit of the samurai organization, the shogunate, and the way the samurai are organized and pledged to or belong to a landowner, Lord Emma in this case, and the politicking going on at the time. You've heard me talk about politics influencing the teachers of different schools of Buddhism, but we tend to think of things in our own experience, so, right, obviously. But that also includes our cultural and our times. You have to constantly remind ourselves that this was during 13th century Japan. The shogunate was relatively new. It was well established, but it was a new thing in the last 100 years. Before that, it was an emperor kind of, emperors are culturally imbued by the gods, or very special people, kind of like kings were in the West, right? Or pharaohs in Egypt. They were not really human. They were something above humans. They were in touch with something far more sacred, right? And then, so to move toward a shogunate government is quite a huge paradigm shift. But the people still have that authoritarian, kowtowing, we'll do whatever you say kind of mentality. Only now, the only imbued aspect of landowners, the elite, and their attendant servants of samurai, warriors, assassins, is quite literally the threat of death. So it's a very immediate kind of retribution, right? It's extremely authoritarian, dictatorial, and fascist in many instances, right? And so the power plays for ingratiating oneself with those in power, whatever level of power that is a very important part of the daily dynamic. Now, you may, upon first hearing that, as I would, see a very strong hierarchical structure of some sort of a meritocracy. But what we don't often think about is the flip side of that, is there's a tremendous amount of backstabbing and tattletaling and all sorts of machinations in order to tear down those who might stand in your way of a better life, more money, more security for you and your family, position, right? So it doesn't become just a situation of like financial power, like we might want a better position in a company. It also becomes a very, because there's such a disparate chasm between the serfs and those who are privileged, that, and even within the privilege, the support, the money, the lifestyle that you're about to live or able to live, there's such huge differences that there is an embedded impetus to kind of claw your way up the ladder. And so if you're someone who is in this elite power structure, wherever you find yourself, and you strike a dissonant note, whether it be about the rules or about the standards or the ways of disseminating information or belief systems, or certainly if you do something that the top dog isn't really fond of, let alone against, then there's a built-in flaw for those who would have designs on your position to constantly attack you with. You know, he doesn't do this. I do. I'm your guy. This guy, why is he here? You don't need him there. On the flip side of that, there's a tremendous amount of loyalty. Loyalty is very valued. Well, obviously, because everybody's always at each other trying to take each other down. So it's an odd kind of thing, isn't it? We know the Japanese from movies and from discussion and even modern discussion, how honor and loyalty are extremely important to that culture. Not that it's not important to other cultures, but certainly Japan has made quite a historic name for itself in those values. So it's kind of odd that at the same time as we have a hierarchical social structure that's so imbued with this incipience, right? The world of anger, the machinations, manipulations, deception, that at the same time, in spite of that, is very driven by loyalty, filial relationships, and honor, because which means that if you lie to get into power, there might be some serious life and death consequences if you're discovered, right? But it doesn't stop it from happening. So why all of this discussion? Because this petition was beseeched by Shijo Kingo's people to relate an activity that had happened without Nichiren's presence, but for whom Nichiren's word would have some value. Now, this is quite a conundrum. So what you have is a debate takes place, as there were many in those days. There was a lot of civil unrest anyway. So if it wasn't a battle of swords and it was a battle of words, that's kind of a good thing, right? But the battles often either were about land and possession or philosophy, Buddhism. This was the politic of the day. That was the ruler, a great ruler, because he was a supporter of this group of temples and these teachers. And then, of course, because of what they teach, or was he a great ruler because he fought against them to overturn them and bring to bear a different teaching of Buddhism. And this would play itself out in victories in war, in governance of people, in economic wealth, so on and so forth. It's not that dissimilar from where we are today, but anyway, in a very raw form, right? So, as we know from so many Goshos we've read, the Buddhism of the day, the flavor of the day, was the true word school. There were, you know, the Nembutsu was very prevalent, and still is in many ways today. But the Nembutsu had converted a lot of people in power, and fortunes were made, suffice it to say, by certain temples who adopted these teachings for their ability to govern and manipulate people, or for their, it wasn't really about the truth of Buddhism. It was about how this philosophy would be used to control people, authoritarianism. So you have the true word, Nembutsu practice, and then you have the Zen, and a couple of other schools, flower garland and so forth. that, you know, are tolerated, but they're not seen as warring schools. They just often scholars who want to be heralded or known or supported by the financial machinations of the government, who want to make a name for themselves so they can secure some land and don't maybe even a maybe not maybe a temple, but maybe there are lower structures than temples, just actually to establish themselves as a great teacher, comes with it some financial benefit and certainly some security and so on and so forth. So there would be these occasional preachers who would start talking either on the true word, their own version of the true word, or sometimes the riskier ones on other schools of thought. And certainly Nichiren was seen as one of these others, but he was troublesome to those in power because not only was he constantly getting more popular, but the school of Buddhism he was teaching was a return to something that hundreds of years earlier, when Dengyo revolutionized Buddhism in Japan, was based on Lotus Sutra practice. And the thing about Lotus Sutra practice is, especially for those in power, is that the Lotus Sutra teaches absolute independence. It teaches that the maximal life that you can live is completely within your control, right? You awaken and invoke your own Buddhahood, your own you, this is your pinnacle of life. Has nothing to do with the economics or the power plays of politics and authoritarianism. It completely sidesteps that. And if you're wanting to keep a tight control over your people, that's a dangerous philosophy to be spreading. So it wasn't just the other temples who were ridiculed by the scholarship of Nichiren, who could just take them apart, take them to task, and show them how ridiculous their thinking was. So it was embarrassing to have him around for for the other schools. But for those in power, landowners like Lord Emma and others, he was troublesome because he was kind of stealing away from their omnipotent power. Omniscience was the other word I was mixing in there, over their people. And so that's embarrassing, right? That's a question of honor and loyalty. Who the hell are you to walk in here and do this? It's not just me you're insulting. You're disturbing my whole game here, my power structure. So Nichiren was not well liked among the elite, but very much appreciated by followers who were incredibly loyal because this was very powerful teaching, right? And yet, they had to be very careful about practicing what Nichiren was teaching about the Lotus Sutra because the powerful could take form of one of the samurais, might not be so honorable, might be kind of a thug working himself up the ladder of samurai to please Lord Emma. And might just show up and slaughter them and rape their women and take over their lands just to show Lord Emma, huh, I found a defector here. I'm a good samurai, right? So this is the situation. And Lord Emma knew that Shijo Kingo, one of his senior samurais, was a follower of Nichiren. Now, if Lord Emma was not a just or honorable leader, he would just have Shijo Kingo beheaded and spread his earnings, his holdings, you know, to other samurai, or just replace him with a different samurai. Okay, you'll be in my favor now. Go slaughter his family. But Lord Emma was known to be, you know, he rose to his position as a landowner and an elite and part of the ruling class as somebody who had a level head, so much as you could in those days. And so he liked Shijo Kingo, and they came up together. And by the time Shijo Kingo started following Nichiren, I mean, Lord Emma spared no words, told him, I don't like that you're doing that, but we have history, and you're important to me, so I'll tolerate it, but don't make a show of it. Keep it to yourself. And Nichiren, for his words with Shijo Kingo, was very aware of that somewhat volatile situation, and encouraged Shijo Kingo to do the same thing. Practice with conviction, but, you know, don't make too much of a show of it. Don't be a braggart, in other words. Just, you know, slowly people will come to understand what you're doing, and you'll help propagate this. But in your situation, don't create too many waves. It's a threat to your life and your family, right? So Nichiren, in many ways, quite a diplomat here. But so one of these other samurai, or maybe more than one, they attended a debate that happened with one of these other school teachers, teachers of Buddhism schools. And there was somebody there who made who was a Nichiren follower, and who made a lot of important questions to this teacher, who proposed to basically squash Nichiren and anyone else who disagreed with him, and show his superior knowledge of Buddhism and what everyone should be doing and how to practice. And this one Nichiren follower was not having it. And so when this lecturer opened it up for questions, because this debates were very public affairs, he saw his opportunity to ask him some pointed questions. And one or more of the samurai left that gathering where this teacher was embarrassed by this Nichiren follower, and went to Lord Emma and said, this is what Shijo Kingo is doing behind your back. It's a bold-faced lie. But whether Shijo Kingo even appeared there or was anywhere around there, let alone said anything, didn't matter. This guy, this samurai, wanted to advantage himself, knew that Lord Emma wasn't real happy about Shijo Kingo following Nichiren, and now he's going to say, see, he's causing trouble, he's causing unrest, you don't need him there, you know, you put me in his place, or just give me a reward for letting you know, or whatever. This is the kind of politic and backstabbing that's going on, right? Well, Lord Emma at this point was having his troubles, because this was happening a lot, he was having his troubles with Shijo Kingo, and was thinking of pushing him away from Kamakura, where he worked intimately in the circles of Lord Emma's, and push him out to the country to some lower status and just kind of go away and fade away and retire, and, you know, and because I'm tired of having to hear all of this, and you're causing unrest and blah, blah, blah. And this would not necessarily be good for Shijo Kingo, because Shijo Kingo is a dedicated samurai, but Nichiren on several occasions have told him, just be glad you're still in his favor after all. Just calm down. But this particular move could have had some serious consequences. And so this petition that Nichiren's writing is basically a letter to Lord Emma. To say, look, whatever you heard about this situation, it isn't accurate. This is the information that I have from talking to the actual participants. And so it's kind of like a letter of recommendation of sorts, kind of a letting Lord Emma know that, you know, Lord Emma knows that these guys are machinations against one another and trying to achieve political, he understands that. He's, you know, he's an elite. He knows that these guys are all fighting for some kind of superior scraps from his table, right? But, you know, when you hear something consistently and then something major happens that's embarrassing, you might tend to believe it in whatever form it actually happened. And then there are consequences for that. So Nichiren comes to Shijo Kengo's aid, which he didn't do person to person, he would do quite often, but to, it's kind of an overstep for Nichiren to have the audacity to go to Lord Emma and go, "Look, I know you despise me and I'm a trouble, blah, 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 but you know, Shijo Kengo has been a good guy for you. And these charges that are being leveled against him, whatever you think of me, that's a bunch of baloney. And you know, please make a wise decision here." Like Lord Emma would even take Nichiren's advice, right? But it's a pretty significant thing that Nichiren would go that far out of his way to speak to a landowner who's very admired in true word. Although I'm sure Nichiren looked at this as a form of shoju. Not so much to sway Lord Emma's fervent governing. He wouldn't want to step on Emma's toes. But to come to Shijo Kengo's defense and to so elaborately write a letter about the actual facts of what happened in an honorable way is almost, it's a demonstration of this is how a proper Buddhist behaves. This is how a Lotus Sutra teacher behaves. And so with respect. So there's a little bit of a shoju there. In other words, a gentle sway to Lord Emma that Nichiren doesn't present such an offense as you might think, as those other teachers may be in your ear saying, that maybe you should question the true word schools and the Nembutsu that you're listening to all the time, and consider that Nichiren isn't just such a wild animal and an idiot monk causing trouble, that he's actually a very reasoned man, and perhaps, maybe you should consider an audience to further your understanding of Nichiren's doctrine of the Lotus Sutra. He's not saying that directly, but indirectly, he sort of is. So, with all of that in mind, I think it's important to understand the situation. This letter takes on a slightly different meaning. And with all of that, let's get into it. Oh, excuse me. Okay, the letter of petition from Yorimoto. On the 25th day of the 6th month, I respectfully read your official letter of the 23rd, which I received through the intermediaries. The lay monks Shimada no Simon and Yamashiro no Minbu. In the letter, you state, quote, "I am shocked to hear that all those present on that occasion are unanimous in saying that you behaved in a disorderly manner at the place where the monk Yuzo was preaching. They say that you interrupted with a group of your cohorts, all wearing weapons." Now see, this is a public debate. And so he's being accused not only of being a Nichiren follower, but of interrupting this great teacher with weaponry and making a show as though a threat. Well, that would concern Lord Emma, wouldn't it? So, "That is a groundless falsehood. I do not know who told you so, but surely it would be fitting if, out of pity for me, you were to summon them to confront me in your presence and inquire into the truth or falsehood of their accusations. Briefly, the root of this matter is as follows. On the 9th day of the 6th month, Samiko, who is a disciple of the sage Nichiren, came to my residence and said, quote, "Recently a monk named Ryujo Bo has arrived from Kyoto and settled in Kuwagayatsu, west of the gate of Daibutsuden Temple. He preaches day and night, urging those who have questions about Buddhism to come and hold discourse with him in order to settle their doubts about this life and the next. All the people of Kamakura, high and low, revere him as they would Shakyamuni Buddha. However, I hear that no one has ever actually debated with him. I want to go to Kuwagayatsu to debate with him and clarify whatever doubts the people might have about their next life. Won't you come and listen?" So this is about Samiko, not Chijo Kingo. Let's see how this goes. "At that time, I was busy with official matters, so I did not originally intend to accompany him. However, I had heard that it concerned the Buddhist teachings, and I have often gone to hear preaching on that subject. Being a lay believer, however, I never said a single word. Therefore, I believe that a strict investigation on your part should be sufficient to reveal that I was not in any way abusive." So he actually went because he's a curious listener of these teachers, but he didn't say anything. It was Samibo, or Samiko, right? "In any event, during his sermon, Ryuzo Bo said, quote, if anyone among you has a question about the Buddhist teachings, please do not hesitate to ask. So he opened the floor for questions, right? So that's the first area of doubt. There was no incursion here, no like military stance against him, interrupting him. He opened the floor. So that's the first part of this lie, right? Thereupon, Samiko, who said he was going to go debate him, the disciple of the monk Nichiren, raised the following question. Quote, that death is inevitable from the time of birth is certainly no cause for surprise. In addition, especially in recent times, countless people in Japan have perished in calamities. We've already talked about that. No one can fail to realize this transience, which lies before our very eyes. Under these circumstances, I heard that you, a respected monk, had come from Kyoto to dispel the doubts of the people, so I came to listen. I was feeling hesitant, thinking it rude to ask a question in the middle of your sermon, so I'm happy that you have invited anyone who has doubts to speak freely. Again, verifying that this is an opening given, not one taken. He goes on, Samiko does. What puzzles me, first of all, is this. I am a lowly person, born in the latter day of the law in a remote land far from the birthplace of Buddhism. Yet fortunately, Buddhism, which originated in India, has already been introduced to this country. One should embrace it by all means. However, the sutras amount to no less than 5,000 or 7,000 volumes. Since they are the teachings of a single Buddha, Shakyamuni, they must essentially be one sutra. But Buddhism is divided into 8 schools. If one includes flower garland and true word, or 10 schools, if one includes pure land and Zen, although these schools represent different gates of entry, I would presume that their truth must ultimately be one, right? Everyone should agree. However, the great teacher Kobo, the founder of the True Word School in Japan, said, quote, the Lotus Sutra, when compared with the Flower Garland and Mahavatarchana Sutras, not only represent a different gate, but is a doctrine of childish theory. And the Buddha, who expounded it, is still in the region of darkness. He also stated, the great teacher Tendai of the Lotus School and others vied with one another to steal the gi of the True Word School. The great teacher Zuen, the founder of the Dharma Characteristics School, said, quote, "The Lotus Sutra is an expedient means, while the Profound Secret Sutra represents the truth. Those sentient beings without the nature of enlightenment can never attain Buddhahood." That's a direct contradiction to the Lotus Sutra, right? Cheng Quan, of the Flower Garland School, said, "The Flower Garland Sutra represents the root teaching, and the Lotus Sutra, the branch teachings." He also said, "The Flower Garland Sutra is the teaching of enlightenment for the people of the sudden teaching, and the Lotus Sutra, the teaching of enlightenment for the people of the gradual teaching." The great teacher Chia Xiang of the Three Treatises School said, "Of all the Mahayana sutras, the Wisdom Sutras are supreme." The Reverend Shan Dao of the Pure Land School says, "If people practice the Nembutsu continuously until the end of their lives, then 10 persons out of 10 and 100 persons out of 100 will be reborn in the Pure Land. However, not even one person in 1,000 can be reborn there through the Lotus and other sutras." A complete contradiction of the Lotus Sutra, right? The Honorable Honen, and Nichiren has no love for him, urged people to discard, close, ignore, and abandon the Lotus Sutra in favor of the Nembutsu, chanting Amida Buddha, Amida Buddha, Amida Buddha, and also likened the votaries of the Lotus Sutra to a band of robbers. So this is where Nichiren falls into that thinking, right? A robber. And the Zen school declares itself to be to represent a separate transmission outside the sutras, independent of the words and writings. So it pays lip service to Shakyamuni and the Buddha. That's why it's odd that Zen's even considered a Buddhist sect, because they themselves purport to be something more special outside of Buddhist scholarship. So they don't call themselves Zen Buddhists. They just are Zen or Chan in China. But they use the familiar teachings of Buddhism to lead to their superior teachings. They're not even Buddhism. Shakyamuni, the Lord of Teaching, said of the Lotus Sutra, "The world-honored one has long expounded his doctrines and now must reveal the truth." This is directly from the Lotus Sutra. "And many treasures, Buddha, declared the Lotus Sutra of the Wonderful Law, all that you, Shakyamuni, have expounded is the truth." The sutra also states that the Buddhas of the Ten Directions, who were emanations of Shakyamuni, including Amida, extended their tongues to the Brahma heaven, in other words, to signify they all recognize and respect and revere Shakyamuni Buddha as the Buddha incarnate of Buddhahood, teaching, founding, and teaching this teaching, this Dharma. So everything is subservient to Shakyamuni. Shakyamuni is the teacher. It's his enlightenment that we study. Everyone agrees, and everything in the sutras agrees, I should say, but these people who are interlopers or who are politically motivated, they're finding ways, because they are scholars, and the regular people, everyone else, they don't even know how to read in many cases. And those that do read what they're told to read by these great teachers. It's not like they can go to Amazon or a local library and pick up these texts. They're not easy to get. You have to be fortunate just to get one or a part of these texts. And they usually come to you through the only official educational arm, which is the religious world, the temples and their subordinate places. So it comes to you through monks. Right? There's no public education to speak of, right? Other than word of mouth. The great teacher Kobo wrote that the Lotus Sutra is a doctrine of childish theory, yet Shakyamuni Buddha, Many Treasures Buddha, and the Buddhas of the Ten Directions unanimously declared that all its teachings are true. This is documented. Which of all these statements are we to believe? The Reverend, now he's going on quite a long time, isn't he? So this sounds like quite a debate. This isn't an idle question. The Reverend Shandao and the Honorable Honen said of the Lotus Sutra that not even one person in 1,000 can be saved by it, and that one should discard, close, ignore, and abandon it. However, Shakyamuni Buddha himself, Many Treasures Buddhas, and the Buddhas of the Ten Directions, who are emanations of Shakyamuni, assert that of those who hear the Lotus Sutra, not a one will fail to attain Buddhahood, and that all will achieve the Buddha way. Shakyamuni, Many Treasures, and all the other Buddhas are their statements as far apart from the Reverend Shandao and Honorable Honen as fire and water, or clouds and mud. Which of them are we to believe? Which are we to reject? In particular, he's not done yet, the 48 vows of the monk, Dharma Treasury, mentioned in the two-volume sutra, which both Shandao and Honen revere, the 18th one states that if he attains Buddhahood, only those who commit the five cardinal sins and those who slander the correct teachings will be excluded from salvation. Surely this means that even if Amida Buddha's original vow is true and enables one to attain rebirth in his pure land, those who slander the correct teachings are excluded from rebirth in the land of Amida Buddha. So even if you go down the route of Nembutsu and Amida Buddha, if you do so while stepping on the Lotus Sutra, while saying that your teaching is superior to the Lotus Sutra, you are in fact prohibiting yourself from liberation from suffering. So even that isn't correct, according to the sutras. Now, the second volume of the Lotus Sutra reads, quote, if a person fails to have a resolute mind, but instead slanders this sutra, when his life comes to an end, he will enter the Avicii hell. If these scriptural passages are true, then how can Shandao and Honen, who both regarded the Nembutsu school as representing the essence of Buddhism, escape falling into the great citadel of the Avicii hell? And if these two monks fall into hell, there can be no doubt that the scholars, disciples, and lay priests, or believers, who follow in their footsteps will also, as a matter of course, fall into the evil, unlife-affirming negative paths. So this is a direct affront to Kyuzu, or whatever his name is here. These are matters that perplex me. What is your opinion, the Honorable Ryuzo? In this matter, Samiko posed his question. Pretty well-founded, pretty reasoned on scholarship. And so he's calling Ryuzo out. Ryuzo? Ryuzo. Keep mixing the vowels. The Honorable Ryuzo answered, how could I doubt the worthies and learned men of antiquity? Ordinary monks, such as myself, believe them with profound reverence. Already indicating he doesn't like Samiko's tone, right? Then Samiko retorted, saying, well, these words do not impress me as those of a wise man. Everyone believes in those Buddhist teachers who were revered in their own time, but the Buddha enjoins us in the Nirvana Sutra as his final instruction. Rely on the law and not upon persons. The Buddha taught us to rely on the sutras if the Buddhist teachers should be in error. You say those teachers could not possibly be in error, but between the Buddha's golden words and your personal opinion, I am committed to the former. So this is a direct challenge now. You're a liar, basically, is what he's saying, right? Where are we time-wise? Okay. The Honorable Ryuzo asked, quote, "When you speak of many errors of the Buddhist teachers, to which teachers do you refer?" Well, he's already told them. Samiko answered, "I refer to the doctrines of the great teacher Kobo and the Honorable Honen, who I mentioned before." Or aren't you listening? The Honorable Ryuzo exclaimed, "That is impossible. I would not dare discuss the Buddhist teachers of our nation. The people in this audience all follow them, and if angered, will surely create an uproar." Now, this is an out-and-out threat. Basically, he's acknowledging that most of the people in the audience aren't following what Samiko is talking about. They're hearing him, but they're hearing him as somebody who's challenging the person they came to hear lecture. And so, cleverly, Ryuzo has walked away from the actual challenges, scriptural doctrinal challenges, that Samiko presents, and instead relies on cultural norms and, you know, everybody here kowtows to these great teachers. How can you impugn them? All of a sudden, he's not talking about the the scholarship at hand. He's employing people's feelings to shut this guy up. It's a common weapon in politics. Don't look there, look here. And then sounding so imperial about it, like, oh, it's a great offense. Right. It's a great offense because you don't know what you're talking about. And if everyone creates an uproar, well, that would be a fearsome thing. Hint, hint. We'll crush you, you troublemaker, right? Then Samiko said, quote, "Because you asked me to specify which teachers were in error, I mentioned those whose teachings contradict the sutras and treatises. But now you suddenly have reservations and refuse to discuss the matter." So he's calling them out. "I think that you merely perceive your own dilemma. In matters of doctrine, to fear others or to stand in awe of society's opinion and not expound the true meaning of the scriptural passages in accordance with the Buddha's teachings is the height of foolishness." Wow. If anyone's paying attention at this debate, they must be swayed. They must at least be having doubts, right? So Ryuzo is in deep yogurt now. Because he's contradicting every ethic of what he's supposedly doing. Samiko goes on, "You do not appear to be a wise or honorable monk. As a teacher of the law, how can you not speak of out when evil doctrines spread throughout the land, when the people fall into the evil paths and the country stands on the brink of ruin? That is why the Lotus Sutra reads, quote, 'We care nothing for our bodies or lives,' and the Nirvana Sutra says, 'Even though it costs him his life, if you are a true sage, how can you begrudge your life in fear of the world or of other people?'" So now, yeah, Ryuzo, you're supposed to be this great teacher, honorable sage, teaching us about Buddhism, and now you resort to fears of the mob. Like, that's what controls what you're teaching. That's not Buddhist. That's not Buddhist at all. Quote, "Even in non-Buddhist literature, we find mention of a man named Quan Lung Feng, who was beheaded, and of the worthy Pi Kan, who has his chest torn apart or open. But because Quan Lung Feng remonstrated with King Chie of the Xia Dynasty and Ping Kang admonished King Chao of the Yin Dynasty, their names have been handed down in history as those of worthies." Because they stood for their teachings. You're kowtowing to the mob. "The Buddhist scriptures tell us that Bodhisattva Never Disparaging was beaten with sticks and staves, and the Venerable Arashima was beheaded. The monk Chu To Dao Sheng was banished to a mountain in Shuchao, and the Tripitaka master Fa Dao was branded on the face and exiled to the area south of the Yangtze River. Yet Was it not because they propagated the correct teaching that they had gained from the name of sages? They stood for something. Look at you cowering down. Then the Honorable Ryuzo replied, quote, such people cannot possibly appear in the latter age. We are the sort who fear society and dread the opinions of others. Even though you speak so boldly, I doubt that you actually live up to your words. Wow, he's hiding behind his cowardice. But I guess he's hoping that he'll get the mob on his side. We listen to authority. That's what we do in Japan. We're loyal subjects. We just do what we're told. I doubt that you'll stand up to your loud, you know, objections here. You don't live them. You just like to be a disruptor. This is a slippery slope. This is a very dangerous debate going on here. Sammy Coe retorted, quote, how can you possibly know another's mind? Let me tell you that I am a disciple of the sage Nichiren, who is now widely known throughout the country. Although the sage, my teacher, is a monk in the latter age, unlike the eminent monks of our day, he neither seeks invitations nor flatters people, nor has he earned the slightest bad reputation in secular matters. He's an honorable man, unlike you, Ryuzo, right? He simply declares, in light of the sutras, that because the evil teachings of such schools as the True Word, Zen, and Pure Land, as well as their slanderous monks, fill this country, and everyone from the ruler on down to the general populace has taken a resolute mind in them, the people have all become arch enemies of the Lotus Sutra and Shakyamuni Buddha. In this life, they will be forsaken by the deities of heaven and earth and suffer invasions by a foreign country, and in the next life, they will fall into the great citadel of the Avicii Hell. So there it is. That's what he wanted to get to all along, right? So Sammy Coe, I like him. He's pretty ballsy. But this has nothing to do with Shijo Kingo, does it? So he goes on. He has said that if he declares such a thing, he will incur great enmity. But that if he does not, he cannot escape the Buddha's condemnation. The Nirvana Sutra says if even a good monk sees someone destroying the teachings and disregards him, failing to reproach or to oust him or to punish him for his offense, then you should realize that that monk is betraying the Buddha's teachings. Realizing that if in fear of the world's opinion he did not speak out, he would fall into the evil paths, my teacher, Nichiren, has risked his life for more than two decades from the Kensho era through this third year of the Kenji era without slackening in the least. So listen to you, wimp, coward, kowtowing to the mob and being all loyal. You're not practicing Buddhism correctly. My teacher, Nichiren, is an exemplar. So he's really taking it to him, isn't he? Okay. Therefore, he has undergone countless persecutions at the hands of individuals, and twice he has even incurred the ruler's wrath. Now, I'm going to stop here for a second. In fact, I'm going to stop here for the video because I want to make one important point here that we sometimes skip right over. I talk quite often about the difference between Shoju and Shakabuku. Sammy Coe is doing right here is Shakabuku. Because as you may understand, although he's remonstrating right now against this honorable monk, Ryozu, what he's really doing is speaking to the assembly, to all the people that are there. And he's correcting, through his argument with Ryuzo, this representative of erroneous and misleading teachings. And he's correcting everybody's mind and breaking their illusions with this charlatan and demonstrating Nichiren's quality of honor, his loyalty to the teachings, and what correct practice of Shakyamuni Buddha is. The Lotus Sutra, Nichiren's doctrine of the Lotus Sutra, is the clear-headed, accurate teachings of the Dharma. And he's being persecuted for it, and he's not being daunted by that persecution. He is an exemplar of the teachings themselves. So everybody in that crowd, is, if they had doubts, are now thinking, I'm witnessing this honorable teacher of the true word, Pure Land, whatever, being ridiculed quite handily by this common man. And I'm finding out that what I thought about Nichiren, what I'd heard about Nichiren, may not be right, may not be true. Nichiren sounds like a really educated and respectful, honorable, loyal dude. So their minds are being shifted. This is a very, very, this is the aspect of debate that is not only admirable, but essential to successful debate, right? So this is dragged on a little longer than I like to keep it, because I'm respectful of your time, but we'll continue with this one. This is pretty heavy duty from the words of the mouths of followers rather than Nichiren himself, although he's recounting the event, right? All right, we'll continue with part two as soon as I can. In the meantime, I so appreciate your ears, your time, your dedication to your practice. I revere it, I respect it, I honor it, and I experience it as support for my own. So thank you. Any support, of course, other than watching these videos is deeply appreciated, not only by me so I can keep doing this, but by all of us, right? And don't forget, download the podcast so you can listen to them as you go about your other business today. In our age, we have 1,000 things to do at every moment. So I deeply respect your time. Thank you. And I'll see you in the next one. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo.